Thanks again to those of you who supported and prayed for our students and leaders who went to Cincinnati. And students and leaders, it doesn't go without notice that you could have been home, you could have been swimming at the beach, you could have been making money for the future, but with God's prompting, you chose to serve. And we thank you for saying yes to that. And we pray that you will never be the same because of that, because you had a chance to meet with God in a special way. I think the special thing about being on a mission trip is when you are there, you are forced to rely on God 24/7. When you're home, you have to discipline yourself to stay connected with God, but sometimes the desperation of a situation forces you to walk with God in a way that you find out at the end, I really like walking with God 24/7. That's a good place to be. So thanks for taking your time to serve and taking your time to show God's love. And sounds like opening your hearts to His work in your heart as well. This morning, in just a few moments together, I'm aware of what the clock says, but I'm not worried about it. So we are starting at 10, you know, sometimes we start at 11. So I'm aware of that. But I want to do with you this morning, with God's word, something that I rarely ever do, and that is on Saturday I change my sermon for Sunday. That rarely ever happens. It's not a very good practice. It doesn't create health in your life if you do that very often. But today I did that. God did it, I believe. And the way that happened was through our first experience with what is called the Renewal Lab. And some of you might have something in the back of your memory that says, oh yeah, we talked about a renewal team, didn't we, at congregational meeting, or I got an email about that. Some of you prayed for our team, but I'll bring you up to speed this morning. And Emmanuel has a renewal team. They're part of a larger group of churches that are walking through a process of renewal together. And this past week was our first what's called boot camp experience with that. The pastors met on all day Wednesday and all day Thursday and all day Friday together. And then teams from each of the churches, about 10 churches, met with their pastors on Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday morning. So that's been a big part of this past week. It's a pilot project. It's never been done before. Its primary leadership is being offered by Keith Dornbos, who some of you will know as growing up in this church when his dad, Milt Dornbos, was a pastor here from 1960 to 1969. There's 11 churches involved. Now that I look at my notes, there's actually 11. Just so you can know who's involved, Emmanuel, of course, is one. Providence in Holland is another. Grafskop, CRC, Fairway, in Jenison, West Olive, Three Rivers, Ideal Park in Wyoming, Gateway in Zeeland, 14th Street in Holland, Hamilton, and Mayfair in Grand Rapids. That's the group of 11 churches that are walking through this renewal process together. Each church has a team. The team is made up of a pastor, an elder, a deacon, and then volunteers who are responsible for particular areas of ministry, and they are prayer, worship, discipleship, outreach, youth, children, and embracing or assimilating people into a church family or into faith is all under the umbrella of embracing. You've seen their names. Probably a lot of them are here today because they were there yesterday. If you're on the renewal team, would you stand for a minute? You can see their names and faces. Brittany is with our youth. Joni is with prayer, and Michelle is as well, but I knew she couldn't be here today. Tammy is in the embracing or assimilation group. Marge is working with adult discipleship area of ministry. Kendall is in outreach. Matt over here is with worship. Tammy is with the children's ministry, and Paul is the elder. Dave Dahl is also on that team, and he is our deacon. Please be seated. I want you to pray for these folks. I told them yesterday before we left that because they've stepped up in this role, They also just got a target put on their back from the evil one who would like to discourage, deceive, disable them from being effective. So please pray for their protection and for the Spirit's infusion in their life. This is a 2-year project. It has 3 phases in it. The 3 phases are this. Listening is the first 6 months. The second is imagining. That's the second 6 months. And then the next 12 months of the 2-year process is doing. And so we're in the listening phase, listening to say, who are we? Who are we? And where do we serve? You know, what kind of church are we? What kind of neighborhood are we in? And so listening happens in 4 ways. We want to be listening not just as a team, but as a church, listening from within. What's the Holy Spirit prompting us? And I think you heard some promptings this morning from God's Spirit through our Cincinnati team. We want to listen from among the congregation, from one another. What can we learn from one another about who we are? And what can we learn from outside, of this building, this campus, this community? What do we learn from the people who are outside, the people you live next to, the people you work with? What can we learn from them? And we want to learn from above. We want to learn from God's Word, breaking into our life. And so I invite you to turn with me in God's Word this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 2. That will be the creedal text for the 2-year renewal project journey. And Acts chapter 2, I'd like to read for you verses 42 through 47. If you're using a Bible near your seats, you're going to find that on page 995. By the way, changing your message on Saturday night means that the last installment of the R12, Romans 12 series that we've been in, which is overcoming evil or supernaturally responding to evil. Our story from the Old Testament will be the life of Joseph. That'll all happen in July. So we'll pick that up, whatever that second Sunday in July is, that's when we'll pick that up. I think it might be the 14th. So we're making that adjustment along the way. But I wanted to capture the momentum that we experienced this week and especially yesterday with our team and share just in a few moments that some of that with you. The key text that we'll be coming back to and what the team has been challenged to memorize are these words from Acts chapter 2. It's the early church. Pentecost has occurred. And you say, well, what happens when God and His Holy Spirit, comes upon people, resides in their hearts? In the past, the Holy Spirit resided where? In the heart of a prophet or sometimes a king. Now, all of a sudden, God says, I'm going to live in every single person. So that means if you're a follower of Jesus today, God's inside of you. I mean, you breathe breath in like that. The Holy Spirit's that close to you. He's the breath of life. You exhale, that's how close God is to you. He says, on Pentecost, the world was radically changed. The church was born, and the Holy Spirit, God Himself, decided to reside in every single follower of Jesus. And so we're not saying, well, where's the prophet? The Holy Spirit's in the prophet. Or where's the king? The Holy Spirit's in the king. You shouldn't even be saying today, well, where's the pastor? The Holy Spirit's in him. You should be saying, God, you're right here. And when that happened, this was the result. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The Holy Spirit is our greatest teacher. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Our team has been challenged to read this text every day and to memorize it. You might consider doing the same. At least you might consider reading it every day this week. And in September and in October, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts, and we'll be working together on a series about the New Testament church and saying, what can we learn from long ago that is transferable right to today? You know, how can we look more and more like those Christians who were infused with the Holy Spirit for the very first time in history, a whole gathering of people? You know, what lessons can we learn from them, and how might they apply to our context today? So we're in the listening phase. This first 6 months, it's all about listening. But there's a goal in mind when we're listening. The goal that we have when we listen is to figure out where we are, who we are, what does our neighborhood look like. And so we want to define our current reality. Along the way, in the imagining phase, we want to discover what's God's preferred future for us, you know, so that God, by his grace and power, can take us from our current reality to his preferred future, and God loves to do that all the time. When you look in the scriptures, you see that that happens again and again. God's people were in captivity in Egypt, and the greatest event of the Old Testament is the Exodus. Their current reality was that they were slaves, and God's preferred future for them was that they'd be set free and they'd go to the promised land. You read all the prophets in the Old Testament, and most of them lived in the context of God's people being in captivity in Babylon. Their current reality was captivity again. And God's preferred future for them was that they were set free. Jesus comes and he finds people who are in captivity. And he says, I will give my life on the cross for you. I will face Satan and evil and darkness, and I will prevail, and God will raise me by his power from death to life, and I will come and set you free. You know, your current reality without God is that you are enslaved, and God says, my preferred future for you is that you'd be free. And so now we say, here, God plants his church with people who know the truth about being free. This is our current reality in our current neighborhood in a world that's constantly changing. What's his preferred future for us and for our community? And I think it continues to ring true that he wants you to be free. He wants people to be free, free to love, free to serve, free to be in relationship with him, free to be in relationship with one another. I'd like to go back in time for just a couple of minutes and tell you how Emmanuel got to be part of the Renewal Lab. Because for me, I don't think we're in the Renewal Lab out of desperation. Some of the churches are there because they're desperate, and we're praying for God to renew them. I think we're there because of God's providential orchestrating of some events. And it goes back to 2 years ago when the CRC denomination hosted for the very first time because of the prayers of Korean pastors in California who had been praying together for some time, and they said, we need to gather this whole denomination of churches together for prayer, and they hosted the first ever Christian Reformed, I think first ever denominational of any kind, prayer summit. And people from all across the denomination went to California. It was kind of on short notice, actually, for such a big deal. You know, you only had like 3 months to decide and prepare and go. But they felt like it was the prompting of God's Spirit, and people gathered there and went, and I wished I could have been there. But that was a year where, you know, God had already put in place for me a plan to spend time in the Holy Land on sabbatical and to spend time with, you know, students just like this in Guatemala that summer. A trip to California was impossible to add to that mix. But I said, next year, I'm going to go. Next year, I'm going to go. And that was this past year. And I talked to the elders, and I said, I would just love to be there at the prayer summit with people praying from our denomination, because that's on my heart. It's something that God blesses me with. I want to be involved in that way, in this new thing that God's doing. And so they said, that's great. You know, you can go. You know, maybe somebody else will go. Michelle Vanisteg went before on our behalf as a prayer leader in the congregation. I said, I'd love to go. And if there are a few others who might want to go, maybe we could get a small group that could go. And then things began to change. And the biggest change was a very attractive learning opportunity came to Hudsonville, and it was hosted by Evergreen Ministries. And they brought in a teacher, Harry Reeder, to talk about the revitalization of the church, and it was happening right here in Hudsonville. And then a second thing happened that I thought on my radar was just a remarkable opportunity, and it was going to be right in Grand Rapids. I thought, wow, here are some things that I would like to take advantage of, and they're right here in town, but what about this thing way in California? And one thing led to another, and I was convinced that this wasn't the year to go to California for the prayer summit. But I did go to Hudsonville, down Chicago Drive, to Evergreen Ministries for the conference. And the way that we got involved in the renewal project that we're in right now is that the last day of the conference, it was a multiple day conference, the leader, Harry Reeder, who I think is from somewhere south, but I think it's around New Orleans, he was looking at his plane ticket, and apparently when they made the reservations, you know, they weren't thinking Eastern time and Central time, and all of a sudden the last day he realizes, I have to cut out just a little bit early. And so the main speaker's going to cut out early, and a Calvin Semprof is going to pinch hit. And so they said, well, after lunch, you know, this is what's going to happen. And me being me, I thought, well, I'm going to grab my lunch and go. No offense to the Calvin Prof, but I was interested in what the main speaker was supposed to bring, right? And at the last minute, I thought, you know what, I'll grab my lunch. It was just a box lunch, and I'll eat lunch here, and then I'll go. And I'll still skip out on the afternoon, which is now totally not what they planned on. And I sat down and ate lunch, and what I didn't know is that during the lunchtime, they made some adjustments, and Keith Dornbos introduced the Renewal Lab, which, remember, has never been done before. It's a brand new thing. It hasn't even been advertised in the denomination. He talks about that, and immediately I think that is a good fit for our church. And so make of it what you will, a synchronization of events that were very unlikely in my mind. I believe it's God's providential leading, but I shared the idea with our elders. We asked Keith to come and speak to the council. They approved that and the necessary budget items, and you did too in the congregational meeting. That's how we got to where we are today. And so then we recruited a team, and this past week we went to boot camp. And at boot camp, this is the big thing that I guess I want to share with you, and then we'll close. I began to wonder, as we brought in teachers from, there were teachers there from other parts of the, one from Florida and one from Texas, you know, they're really giving us a great opportunity here to learn. I began to wonder what they were describing as a significant paradigm shift. I began to wonder, God, is Emmanuel ready for that shift? And I began to think, I think she is. Is Emmanuel ready to make this big shift that they're talking about? And I think we are. And the more I began to wonder about it, the more I began to think that this is really possible. And the big shift is this, and you'll get to hear more about it in months and years to come, if God says, yes, we're ready. But the big shift is this, that churches like ours, you know, established churches, 65-year-old churches, 100-year-old churches, congregations like ours, we have functioned in America with the ministry model that says, if we build it, they will come. You know, if we have a program, people will come to it. If we design it, they'll show up. If we speak the truth, some people will come and hear that they'll do that. And that has worked for a long time. But you know, even thinking about events of this week, the world we live in has really changed. And people's interest in truth has really dwindled. And their desire to connect with God in our country has grown less and less. And so churches are discovering, even if we build it, they're not coming. Even if we tell it, they're not listening. And even if we design it, they're not showing up. What are we to do? That's called the attraction model of ministry, and it worked well in America for a long time. Church, go into this week with the blessing of God upon you. May the Lord your God richly bless you. May he turn toward you and be gracious to you. May he fill you with his presence, his power, and his peace through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.